Chapter 34. Nia invited Lucy in, and as they sat together, Romeo snuggled up protectively to Nia. I told you I would explain things, and I think the sooner I do, the better. Nia waited for Lucy to elaborate. You're right. I have been trying to hide something for too long. Lucy started to twist her wedding ring around her finger. It's very difficult to explain to a young girl like you. I'm 40, hardly a young girl. And I'm 73. What? The word shot out before she could stop it. I'm so sorry, Nia stammered. No, it's all right. No one around here knows my true age. I'm 10 years older than Ian. I was your age when we met, and I'd been married before. My previous husband hadn't wanted children, but when Ian and I fell in love, we both wanted to start a family. Sadly, it wasn't to be. I kept waiting for Ian to leave me, find someone younger, prettier. But he never has. He loves you, I can see that, and anyway, you look amazing. Thank you, but age is catching up on me. In particular, before Christmas, the doctor suspected I might have the onset of something called Meniere's disease. I'm so sorry, I don't know exactly what that is. It's a disorder of the inner ear which causes dizziness, vertigo, sickness, and hearing loss. Of course, the dizziness and vertigo can be mistaken for signs that I have been drinking. I am very sorry, Lucy. I had no idea. It sounds awful. Can they treat it? To a limited extent, the symptoms at least. I shouldn't have leapt to conclusions in the way I did. I only had the definite diagnosis at the start of February, but the symptoms have got worse since then. Lucy's lips trembled, shaking fingers stroked her forehead. My hearing is getting so bad, I shall need hearing aids soon. Her voice broke. Ian will stand by you, I'm sure. He says that. In fact, he was just upset I'd not told him before today. He didn't know? No, I was dreading telling him. I keep all illness from him. I don't want to remind him how much older I am than him. I've already failed him by not giving him children. Lucy burst into loud sobs. Nia went and put her arm around her. Hey, you're a beautiful, intelligent woman with a husband who loves you very much. You must never think you failed him. Lucy wiped her eyes. That's what he says. He noticed the slips and things. He'd even wondered about me drinking. I should have talked to him, but I was hoping it would magically disappear. Of course, it's not going to. And I was worried about all these books and TV programs. I mean, how would it look if I'm ill? But everyone gets ill. I would have thought it would help people to know how you were coping with it. That's what Ian said. He doesn't see it as a problem at all. I don't know. Talking to him now makes me realise how stupid I'd been. Did Ruby know? Lucy nodded, speaking quietly. I told Ruby the week before she died. She'd known something was wrong, had been dropping more and more hints about me drinking. I went to have my hair done the day after I was given a definite diagnosis. I was vulnerable and I told her. It was a mistake. She went on and on about telling Ian. She told me she'd asked him if I was drinking and he'd said no, but had seemed unsure. She said I owed it to him, but as far as I was concerned, it was none of her business. Lucy sat forward. I can tell you this, however. I did not go to the beach and kill her in order to silence her. And, as it happened, by then I'd come to understand that someday I was going to have to tell Ian, tell everyone. It was just a matter of time. Killing Ruby, apart from being wicked, would have been pointless.
Lucy got up and walked towards the door.
I'd appreciate you keeping this to yourself for now, although we'll tell friends and our agent very soon.
Lucy left quickly, slamming the door behind her, and then Nia heard her opening her own front door. Nia could understand her abruptness, and she had a right to be very angry with Nia for the false accusations. Nia was fortunate that Lucy had been generous enough to explain anything. But for all that, Nia still had niggling doubts. Lucy had said she'd not trusted Ruby since the accident, and that was a few months before she'd told Ruby about her illness. Nia shook her head. She was so confused, and the more she tried to think, the more tangled her thoughts became. Maybe a good night's sleep would clear her mind. The next morning, Nia felt none the wiser. She was going for a swim with Jade before work, and was looking forward to it, as it promised to be a hot day. As they drove to the beach, Jade said, "I got a text late last night from Ian, asking me if I wanted to join him and Richie for a swim at the pool they go to. I turned down the offer, told him I was coming here with you." "I'm sorry, you could have gone with them." "No, it's fine, I'd much rather be here." It was a glorious morning to swim, with what looked like thousands of stars twinkling on the surface of a bright blue sea. Nia went straight in and relished the cold water on her face. Today, Romeo happily paddled and dug holes in the sand. It was a day she'd have loved to linger, but they both had work, and reluctantly they got out and started to change. Nia asked Jade how she was feeling, and she let out a long sigh. "I'm doing okay, still being sick, but it's not as bad. Look, my tummy is starting to show now." She laid her hand on a neat bump. "You are so tiny. I was staggering around from about 3 months on." Nia stopped. This wasn't helpful for Jade. "So I'm still coming with you on Monday. What time is the appointment?" "At 10. Would you be all right to drive? I'll be in for the morning, all being well. Come out at lunchtime. Could I phone you when I'm ready to come back?" "Of course. I can hang about there just in case. I can stay with you as long as they let me." Jade smiled. "Thank you. I must admit to having a few wobbles, but I think I'm doing the right thing." "Think about it tomorrow. You know, if you have doubts, there is adoption if you didn't want to raise the baby yourself, but I'm not putting any pressure on you. This is your decision." It had been a busy day at the salon, and Nia was in the garden about to take Romeo for a walk up on the downs when she saw Ian over the other side of the fence waiting to talk to her. She wondered if it was about Lucy, but was surprised by the offer he made instead.
"I was wondering if you fancied a swim in the pool. I'm going again later, about 10.
He pointed over at her swimming costume hanging on the line.
"I know you and Jade went this morning, and I had a lovely swim with Richie. I can't resist going again. What do you say?"
Nia thanked him and agreed to go later. Up on the downs with Romeo, it was a lovely evening, and as she walked up the path, she could see the ancient Longstone standing proudly at the top of one of the fields in the distance. She'd read it was an ancient burial site, and then a meeting place where important decisions for the villagers were made. That stone connected her to a past that was as vital and real as the present, and she realised that the island didn't just remember its past, but the memories were a living, breathing part of it. Her mind drifted to Ruby and her death, a pinprick in the scheme of things, and yet the island would never forget. For Nia, that brought some comfort. Whatever happened, whatever she did or didn't find out about what happened to Ruby, there was at least something that knew the truth and held it. Nia walked slowly back to the car, thinking about her invitation from Ian. It had come so suddenly, she couldn't believe it wasn't anything to do with Lucy's revelations. Nia pictured the pool up there in the dark, and suddenly she felt nervous pangs in her stomach. She'd seen another side to Ian when he'd thought he'd been passed over for the TV work. The charm had disappeared, and as the desperation for that role had become more real, the lengths to which he might go to preserve it were far more apparent. Nia thought of her conversation with Lucy, that feeling there was more, that the anger she felt towards Ruby was tied up with something deeper. This anger had to be connected to something Ruby knew about them that would jeopardise them getting the TV and book deals. But what was it? And, more worryingly, did Ian or Lucy suspect she knew about it? Had she become a threat to them in the same way Ruby had? By the time she'd returned home, Nia had persuaded herself she was being ridiculous. Lucy and probably half the close would see her leaving with Ian. If he did have anything planned, surely he wasn't going to do anything this evening. She went out about 10, just as Ian was opening the garage door.
"Evening," he called. "Wait there and I'll get the car out."
He backed the large car into the close, got out, closed the garage door and motioned to the passenger door for Nia to get in. Nia sank back into the soft leather seat. This is very smart.
Yes, I've had it a few years now. Lucy never liked driving it, complained it was too big. Still, she doesn't seem to be bothered about driving much anymore.
They drove out of the town, over the bridge, and towards Fort Victoria. Nia was wondering if she should bring up the subject of Lucy's illness, but Ian mentioned it first.
I understand Lucy talked to you.
Yes, I'm sorry she has this illness. It sounds terrible.
I wish she'd told me earlier. It would have made life so much easier. It's a relief, to be honest. And as I said to her, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
I think she feels the age difference between the two of you.
I know, which is ridiculous. It's never bothered me. I know she thinks she let me down about not having children, but honestly, we've had such a full life together. I'm quite selfish, you know.
He threw her a quick grin.
I like having Lucy to myself.
She seemed to be concerned it would affect you getting the TV or bookwork.
I realise that now, but as I explained, what we're trying to share with people is how to live a healthy and full life in older age. That doesn't mean we won't have illness or disability. I think, actually, it will help people to identify with what we are saying if they see we too have our struggles.
Yes, I think you're right. And Ruby knew about all this? They pulled into the driveway. Ian turned off the engine and the lights. For a second, they were plunged into darkness, but then the security lights flooded the driveway.
I believe Lucy did tell Ruby. I think Ruby had been asking her all kinds of questions.
He gave Nia a sideways look.
The symptoms could have been mistaken for drinking problems. I have a feeling Ruby might have had concerns about that. Anyway, the point is, Lucy didn't, and now I can look after her.
Ian leant down and picked up his swimming bag and the goggles that had fallen out. Nia found her bag, and they both got out of the car. Ian unlocked the back gate to the side of the house. Immediately, security lights shone down on them, and they made their way along the path. As before, Nia saw the large outbuilding in front of her. As they approached it, more lights came on.
That's the gym I told you about, said Ian.
He held up the keys.
Come and have a quick look inside.
He unlocked the door and more lights came on automatically, illuminating a magnificent room full of equipment as well as an enormous flat-screen TV, bar and seating area. Ian put down his swimming bag and goggles. Nia had assumed the right wall that faced the pool was bricked, but she could see now that it had enormous patio doors.
Goodness, it's so luxurious.
I know, said Ian, grinning. Still, I'd rather swim. Come on.
They left and Ian locked the gym up and the lights switched themselves off. Are all the lights here automatic? They don't seem to have heard of light switches.
My friend told me he was fed up with his kids leaving lights on all over the place. It also means it's much safer if you come out here after dark.
As they walked along, Nia saw the outside light by the gym go out. But now more lights lit up the whole area, including the pool. Ian took her to a small building to the right of the pool. Again, lights came on and she let herself into a small changing room. Nia already had her bathing costume on and was ready quickly. They both went to the shallow end of the pool. Nia sat down, ready to lower herself into the water. Ian, however, seemed to change his mind and walked around the pool to the deep end. Nia had the impression he was strutting around for her benefit. There was no doubting he was in very good shape, but she thought he looked a bit foolish. He stood at the other end, his arms raised arrow-like above his head, ready to dive. Nia had a feeling she was meant to watch this performance, but instead, she lowered herself into the pool and began to swim. She had to admit it was a wonderful experience. The pool was a perfect temperature, and to be out here under the stars was quite magical. Ian appeared to be determined to do as many lengths as he could, and noisily swam up and down while she swam breaststroke, then some backstroke, relaxing. Suddenly there was a huge whoosh of water, and Nia saw Ian getting out of the shallow end.
I need to get my goggles. They're in the gym. I thought I could manage without, but my eyes are really stinging.
She waved in acknowledgement, watched him pick up the keys from the changing room, and then enter the gym, pick up the goggles, and return. He was soon back in the pool, resuming his punishing routine of length swimming. Nia continued swimming gently back and forth, and as she did, something dawned on her. She had assumed that when Richie and Ian were up here the night Ruby died, neither could see the other, as one was in the gym, the other in the pool. But of course, with that wall of glass and all the automatic lights, they must have been able to see each other exercising or leaving. If Richie had left the gym, the lights would have gone off. If Ian had left the pool, likewise, the lights here would have gone off. They had to have both known where the other was. Nia frowned. She was getting very confused. First, the two men had seemed to have the perfect alibi, swimming together. Then she'd found out that Richie had been in the gym, which Nia had assumed meant they had been out of each other's sight. But now she saw that they would have been able to see each other, which meant they had an alibi after all. Why hadn't they pointed that out to her? Nia noticed Ian was getting out, and so she finished her length and walked over to the changing area. She dried herself off and got dressed. Her mind was still churning. Why were they being so evasive? Surely, right from the start, they should have been shouting about this alibi. But they hadn't. She rejoined Ian and they started down the path.
"You're very quiet," Ian commented. "Thinking deep thoughts?"
"I was thinking about the gym and the pool here," she blurted out. "The thing is, Ian, I've realised, because of the windows and the lights, you and Richie had to know all evening what the other was doing."
Ian shrugged. "I guess you're right. Why does it matter? We were both here."
"But why do you keep changing the story? Is one of you covering for the other?"
They had passed the pool, and most of the lights were out as they entered the dingy pathway to the back gate. Nia was suddenly aware of being alone with Ian, and realised this was a far from ideal place to be discussing alibis for murder. Ian put his hand on the gate and paused. Nia's heart was racing. He was so much taller, stronger than her. There was no escape.
"You know, some days, like this one, have a way of changing perspective. The night Ruby died, I was here swimming. I know that, and it's all that matters to me. I wasn't watching the gym all the time I was swimming. In fact, for long periods, I have no idea what was going on in there. I guess it might be the same for Richie. And that's all I think I want to say about that."